With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey everyone, and welcome to RPG from Scratch, design episode number 57. I am your host, Josh LaForge, and with me today is Max.
Yes.
And Liam.
Go Team Ombre.
And Doug has vanished to the Maldives.
Again.
Fleeing the law.
Yeah.
Or leading the law, depending on, on how you think about it.
How far undercover he may or may not be.
My first instinct is always to tie him to, like, recent criminal happenings, but I'm like, that's our friend. We don't want to, you know, be slanderous.
Oh, what, like all the murders in Philly?
Yeah.
That's not him.
Allegedly.
Mm-hmm. No. That's not how allegedly works. You're alleged of a crime. Yes. You're not allegedly innocent.
No, he's allegedly innocent.
Oh, my God. All right, well, so I kind of want to do a loose episode today. I've got kind of like big picture questions. And what I want to start with is, what kind of party are we building baseline combat encounters for? So I think a good tool for us to think about this before we really start drilling into it is let's think of compositions, right? If you're playing a two-person party.
Yes.
What corners are you trying to hit to make sure that you're a viable unit?
Well, you got to have enough damage.
So high damage.
Got to have some healing.
Got to have healing.
And got to have some staying power.
Right.
You need to build characters that can get hit.
But I feel like, so in a two-player party, you're probably both trying to build your survivability up.
Yes.
And maximizing your damage output with healing. And if both of you took on the role of healing a little bit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And damage, you'd probably be better off, right?
Yes.
So in this conversation, the reason why I'm bringing this up is that we are expecting parties to have damage and healing.
Yes.
And to be able to take a hit.
At least one.
Well, or maybe more.
A 17 and dodge, you know.
So you wouldn't build Esmond, your fire crocodile, as pure fire in a
two-party team? No. Not even a little bit.
Right. What do you think you would add? Because you have such high damage.
Yeah.
What would you change about Esmond in a two-party team?
Rather than going step three, I probably would have gone core fire, step one, radiance, and then probably continued going around fire. You just need to splash into healing to get...
Because you got high dodge.
Yeah.
But low HP.
Yes.
And then you got one armor for being a Hrod. So that's... I agree with you. I think that's on point. You might even increase your endurance by one, right, to get that extra 6 HP and go up a level.
I don't know if Kelton would even work with all the command, like in a two-party team.
I think command is pretty good in a two-party team. If you've got somebody who deals high individual damage, then that person's dealing damage every round.
If you went command, splash, heal... You could even have someone who's just a straight champ.
Yeah.
And get a lot done.
Yeah. Although the range of fire is pretty good, but what happens when you can't get to range, right? Well, command helps with that. Command can kind of get you out of
range,
trouble.
Range is immediately going to be, I think in a two-party team, range is rougher too because you're trying to control area, because I think there's a pretty heavy tactical. Mm-hmm. Having two people in the stuff, giving each other bonuses, and being able to spread out that hate is pretty useful rather than someone trying to be a wall against however many enemies you have.
I agree. But I think that gives us a picture of priorities.
Yes.
Right? So two players. All Kelton would have to do probably is add some damage.
Yeah.
Right, because he's already command.
Not doing too much. Yep.
He's got command. He does on his turn as much damage as the person who does the most damage in his party.
That's true. You might just splash healing.
Yeah.
And then you can get a Zealotry plus command is probably pretty spicy.
Yes.
Okay. So now let's think about it. Let's grow this party, right? Yeah. So, the two player party, we see two generalists. We're expecting players to branch out so they can interact with each other so that we can throw difficult encounters at that group, and they've got options. Each character, when there's nobody to heal, has a different job to do that is really important.
Yes.
Okay. Let's grow it. Let's make it to three players, okay? Now, let's think three players. I think you can have... I feel like this is the first opportunity that you can make a party of three with very rigid roles.
Yes.
Because I think the three-man party works with dedicated tank, dedicated damage, dedicated healer.
Yep.
Yep.
Here's the problem. That healer's going to have...
multiple targets.
Way less to do in a three-man party.
Yep.
It'll be effective, but I think the person who would benefit... the player who would benefit most from... spreading out their steps and paths would be the healer in a three-man party.
Yep.
But I feel like it's an effective party, right?
And probably healing
and command, I feel like, is going to get a lot done.
The beauty of our system is you're not just the healer.
Correct.
You still get other stuff to do.
Yeah. You could be the healer and shoot fire at your ass.
That's
you
true.
Know, like,
or you could just use the thing that in our playthroughs we've used to heal the most. It's still a viable attack. Mm-hmm. It's a viable attack. Yeah.
I feel like you can also make three generalists.
Yeah.
Yep.
Right? And as long as everybody's got a backup for each other, then you're okay.
As long as your bases are covered in those three.
Yeah. Main... like if your healer is court ice, step one, step two, radiance, that's a tough motherfucker.
Yeah.
You're going to be in an... if somebody peels off and goes for the healer, that healer will ruin their life.
Yeah. But if you target yourself with your dazzling ray, you can almost always get... one other ally. You can get a lot done.
Yeah. And deal damage.
Yeah. And if you got that armor, you can not care about a lot of stuff.
It's true. Well, I mean, core radiance, you're tough because you get the shield. You get...
if you were a singer in like 1961 and your name was Dazzling Ray, I think you'd be doing all right.
Oh, yeah. Because you're the only one who can really... oh, it sounds like such a dig at Ray Charles, though, doesn't it?
It does.
It sounds like you're obviously trying to be anti-Ray Charles.
Which, it's 1961, you'd probably still work. You know, like,
oh.
Your hit single, I Took Your Eyes.
Oh, come on. God damn
it. He had eyes. They just didn't work.
It sounds like a hit double.
Oh,
fuck.
All right. I feel like three players is the simplest. That's the simplest group composition. Mm-hmm. We're thinking of designing encounters. I feel like... we really are solidifying these roles, right? Mm-hmm. All right, let's grow it again just to really get a full picture of what we expect players to have. Right?
11 team members.
Well, let's go to four players. I feel like here's an enormous amount of flexibility. This actually might be the most flexible amount because past four, I think you start to specialize more.
Sure, but also the idea that there can be someone in the party who can do something bonkers...
yeah.
Like, you can have it, you probably at four people, especially when you start having the conversations at session zero, you're having a lot more conversations about what your job mechanically is to do.
Yeah.
So you build someone, again, who can take a hit, who's there to take hits, mm-hmm. who enjoys taking hits.
I feel like if you're thinking about roles, the tank of a three-man party, if you're wanting to do a tank and you're not making generalists... they're going to specialize more than a tank of a four-person party has to, right? You really want to be impossible to get by.
You also want to you want to feel very secure in that, because if things go wrong, that's the first place where things are going to go wrong.
Absolutely. So you're really like building to be the most dangerous person to try to avoid while setting up your damage dealer to deal the most damage.
Yeah.
All right, but four players, do we need a tank anymore? I think you need somebody to instigate, right? Like, you need somebody tough enough to instigate. Probably with armor.
Yeah.
But they don't need to be so specialized.
I think even a role of, you need someone to be the tank just so that, to make it easier for whoever's healing, to know this is going to be the person who is going to put themselves out there to start taking hits.
Yeah.
So you already know to start wrangling them.
You need an instigator for how every combat will start. This person will put themselves in the way of everybody else. And get going at four players. However, that person does not have to be a dedicated tank. We're talking about just the beginning of combat, right? So you could have somebody who's just command that wears armor, and they run out and get hit.
Champ could do it pretty easily.
Champ could do it for sure. Scoundrel, probably not.
No.
You could build a scoundrel who could, but straight scoundrel, it's probably not what you're focusing on.
No. Well, and also, I think it doing that at you know, level
Zealotry.
Zero.
Zealotry could do it.
Zealotry could. You could build a scoundrel that could do that at level 3 and 4
mm-hmm.
when you start dipping into other stuff, but just having someone who's already scoundrel enough to be considered a scoundrel, you're pretty easy to knock over. We have found that out.
Yeah. You could have two off healers without having a main healer. You could. Everybody can deal damage. You don't really have to worry about that.
You could have that same 3-party setup, and you could literally just have a fourth person who's like, I'm going to try something.
Yep.
What is it? Marksman and this or this weird combination. Mm-hmm. And they could even just bounce around and do 4 things kind of okay and feel very, very a lot like they're contributing.
So now let's think of that 3-person party. Let's think of the specialized 3-person party. What do you add to that to get the biggest benefit out? I don't think it's command.
No.
I think maybe death.
Ice.
Ooh.
Ice would be good too. Ice is control.
Yeah. Death and ice, definitely.
Those are both denial.
Scoundrel's good.
Scoundrel is good.
The
also
more,
because of control.
Yeah. More people you have on the field with you, the better the scoundrel is.
Yes.
Command, I like 4 because it's like a piano.
Yeah.
You know, got all the different keys.
Now, I think as we expand past 4,
mm-hmm.
we start to see command really shine.
Yeah. Yes.
Once we get to 5, 6+, nobody, you're never sad to add another person with command.
Also, don't play with 7 people.
No.
I've done it. We've done it. I've GM'd it. You've GM'd it.
I know. I try not to do that anymore.
When everybody's on the same page, it's not that bad. But everybody understands that it is a struggle. Okay. The moment we have 5 players, we no longer need a tank.
No. You have enough meat.
You have enough meat. You've got enough people with dips into healing. Whether they picked up Zealotry to begin down that path for damage, they can still off heal.
I was going to say, does reality bend at 7? Because, like, you know, your group meets in the tavern. If you have 7 people meeting at a bar, like, that's a big party. Do they all fit in the same wagon, the same boat? Do you have to, like, have 2 boats?
Yeah, I think you have to plan around it for sure. In the ways we've done it, usually we're traveling on foot.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it wasn't that big of a deal.
I'll say, because usually, like, oh, yeah, we jump in the wagon, but, like, oh, there's 12 of us. I don't know if we're all going
to
fit.
I agree, but I think when you get to 7, the scope of the adventure changes.
It has to.
You're not doing, if you're doing a heist, we're talking Ocean's 11.
Yeah.
Let's talk 6+, okay? Because I feel like 6+ is distinct from 5. 5, we're still in normal gaming territory.
Yeah.
4 is ideal, I think. We should plan around 4 and give GMs the
tools to do with 3 and 2.
I was going to say the tools to upscale past 4. Like how to add damage, how to add monsters, how to add extra turns to the monsters during a round to...
I like that a lot.
...assist with making the difficulty matter. And, of course, health. Like, your monsters have to gain health if they're boss creatures, especially.
Yeah, because adding another player over the course of 3 to 4 turns is potentially a lot of damage, depending on who that character is.
Yeah, especially if it's command.
Especially if it's command, especially if it's champ, or even it's just someone who lets the healer let loose and do something else.
Yep, you're right. All right, I'm into that. So the functional reason I'm bringing this up to conceptualize this is that I want to touch base with you guys to make sure that when we're talking about designing encounters, we are expecting somebody who can soak damage, somebody who can heal.
Yes.
The players have to have that. And a damage output that at least matches the enemies.
Yeah, because if not, you're going to get outstripped and then... Eventually, you won't be able to put up damage numbers enough to kill them before they kill you.
Yeah, it's not fun to die in the first campaign.
Right. So conceptually, the only one of us who has had our players fight enemies who could heal is Liam. Some of the Pawas could heal each other.
Yep.
Now, I haven't done that yet because it's a balancing act. I thought you handled it well. And Max didn't do it because nobody had magic, right?
Yes.
Also, it didn't come up.
One character didn't
have as much of an effect on the battlefield as I thought it would be. Because I think if you go back and listen to them, I don't think any of those guys survived more than 2 turns.
But it did matter because it gave us information about their capabilities, right? So this is, I think this is interesting in thinking of the moment you add an enemy to an encounter that can heal their allies, you're extending the length of the encounter, which increases the overall damage the enemies will deal against the party.
Yes.
And depending on what kind of enemies they are, that's either a little bit of slow damage or huge spiky damage that can body a character immediately. I don't really have a resolution for this topic other than I think it's important that we have it, that we have this discussion about what we expect from group compositions.
3 to 4 is the mean.
I think 4 is ideal. You're going to get 3s, you're going to get 5s.
Yeah. Okay.
But 6 plus I think is probably easier to do in our system as a GM than in Dungeons and Dragons where we've done it before, and certainly in Pathfinder. Trying to balance encounters around 6 players going and zippering in enemies into that, like, it's just going to be it's going to be difficult.
The zippering actually makes it more consistent and easier to deal with.
It makes it easier to deal with, but it's a consideration that other systems don't have.
Yeah, like having a 6-person, 7-person party, they overwhelmingly win initiative. Boo boy.
Yeah,
having 7 people get a full turn before you get to act as a GM is a real great way to be like, oh, this encounter is not going to work now.
Yes,
and knowing way too late that is true.
Definitely had that before and like cheered afterwards that we got that all off because we were really worried we were going to die in other systems. But I feel like every one of these things we are calling a scene. I feel like it's easier to craft scenes when you can almost guarantee that the players are going to see the actions of a creature at least once.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But then it just comes back to the dice.
Yeah.
Because I just listened to, again, Echoes, and there's just... We were rolling ones when you could have been rolling 19s.
Yep.
You know, we would have been eviscerated quite early.
Oh, that the what was it? The
wolves?
No.
Not the wolves. It was
two birds. Heralds?
Yeah, the heralds. The heralds.
Oh yeah. That got hairy.
You're just dropping
that,
the dice.
And were they heralds? Was that the two heralds?
The two heralds, yep.
Yep. It was no Howards.
The two Howards. The two Howards.
Howard the Duck.
Heralds, yeah, Howards.
And Goose Howard.
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot that stupid joke.
I loved it. It's what makes me want a GM. So let's talk about encounter design. We've all done it now in our system. Actually, I want to hear from you, Max, because you took a different path than Liam and I did in the designing of encounters. What did you expect our party to be able to do against the enemies?
That was the most frustrating part about...
By the way, I'm talking about Gloomtown. So yes. If anybody's wondering what we're talking about and you haven't listened to it, Max GMs all of Gloomtown, and it was a blast, but all of his enemies were basically commoners, except for one encounter.
Yeah.
Also, spoilers for Gloomtown.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Spoilers for Gloomtown. Yeah, I really didn't know how to make an encounter or how to make a combat or how to do anything. I was just going on what I've seen before, just trying to make something that would be interesting for you guys. I didn't know how to make it. Like... You guys always make it where I seem like this is way too difficult, and then we beat it, and we're like, oh, yay, and everything. That's it.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Amazing, but I don't know how to get there. I was just putting in people that I thought would be there and then trying to make enough of them to where... Their lack of combat skill wouldn't just be boring for you guys.
Until recently, I would just steal from published adventures and then rename the characters and change their abilities. And that's how I would.
Yeah, but really, that was the part about why I didn't really like GMing was combat, like creating the combat, trying to make it interesting.
I enjoy doing that because I make a little spreadsheet of what I think most people will be able to hit with, and then I just go, I want this guy to feel like he's little hard to hit, so I'm just going to push him one or two spots there. I want this guy to feel like he has a lot of health. This is how much damage I think on average they could do in 2 to 3 turns. I want him to survive longer than that. You know.
Oh.
I'm
in my case, I just said there's going to be this guy. He seems cool. Well, maybe there'd be two of those guys. They'll have a dog.
You're correct. That's yeah. I think that's the way to do it too. Like I mean, you guys have noticed when I'm GMing, mm-hmm. I'm like, I will get the old screenwriting tip of or stage writing tip of give everybody a limp and an eye patch.
Yeah.
Of just this is a female
yeah.
with a great sword. You know, like that's the what was it middle age Eshwin with a great sword.
The sequel to Ally McBeal.
Yeah. what I love about doing that I didn't realize at the time when I first started doing it is the story it creates during combat. Right?
Just a little bit of personality.
Three-legged dog.
Yep. Yeah, the three-legged dog. The reason why that's great is I'm just trying to, in every combat, mm-hmm. when I'm designing it, I'm just trying to make something difficult. And sometimes the thing that's difficult is, you know what? They haven't had anything that scared them in a while. This is going to be a very simple enemy that dies easily, but does a ton of damage if it hits. So they're going to think it's easy. They'll kill one, and then one will hit them, and they'll go, oh, no, we need to take this very seriously. And that's an easy encounter to design. I mean, yeah. super easy. But controlling for characters that can heal and tank, if we always, always expect that, and we lay it out in the system that we expect players to be able to take damage and heal, then I feel like it's on them if they don't.
100%.
Yeah. Okay. Especially because there's no penalty for multi-classing in our system.
Nope.
Like it's not, I wouldn't say there's a huge bonus for doing it. I feel like it's just exactly as though if you hadn't, right? You're just different.
I think there is a distinct, again, in the, especially in the 2 to 3 range.
Two, especially.
There is a big incentive to have a nice toolbox to work from in your personal yeah. toolbox because you can't depend on other people. But yeah, at 4...
Yeah.
If you have someone who has got a hammer, you just start setting up nails.
For sure. You don't need to step outside of Radiance at 4 players.
No.
Like
and Radiance fucking slaps.
It does. And you're going to deal enough damage. Like if you're like, oh, I don't have anybody to heal, I'll just cast my Radiance ability and deal damage. Radiance doesn't deal as much damage as any dedicated mm-hmm. damage path, but it does damage, and you're not going to be sad about the damage you deal if you have 4 or more players.
And when you take the damage dealers and you're like, no, you're cool, back up, let's go.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
do this.
And I think there is an advantage to having a dedicated healer at 4 because just having a champion or a scoundrel or a melee concentrated exploding
oh, yeah.
fire or death. And they're just like, no, I'm pretty confident I can stay up for 2 turns no matter what.
Yeah.
I'm just going to go hard and see how many things I can kill. And Radiance could just go, you're shielded, baby, and I'm within 6 spaces.
Boom.
I'm going to keep you up.
Yeah, if you've got somebody who's core ice step 1 citadel tanking, and you got somebody who's just pure champion, going full Radiance is fine.
Yeah.
In a 3-man party, you're fine. Everybody will live.
And many things will die.
Yeah.
Many, many things will
Absolutely.
Die.
Absolutely. Okay, I think we spent enough time on that for now. I'm about to design some encounters for 3-man party, so I wanted to talk about expectations. I already know what characters you guys are playing, so there's not... But my worry is, do I design the encounters around what I know I'll be facing, or is what I'm facing the standard as GM? Like, is it, for a 3-man party that you guys are going to be... Do you meet the standard expectations? And based on what you picked, I think you do.
2-man was hard to design around.
2-man was tough, but fun. Max, you went double Radiance?
Yes.
For the 2-man test we did. And Liam, what was your character again?
Is it Scoundrel Citadel?
Might be. Okay, so changing lanes. Let's talk about Ackies.
Yeah.
We don't really lay out any guidelines yet, and we should. I want to know how players earn Ackies. Obviously, they'll find them in chests. They'll mm-hmm. loot bodies. they'll take jobs that pay Ackies.
Yeah.
I mean, that seems normal, right? But okay, but let's talk about professions.
Okay.
So let's pick a profession that makes money. You're a jeweler.
Mm-hmm.
Let's start lower.
Okay.
Let's start lower.
You play the flute.
What does a day laborer make?
A day laborer?
Let's start with a day laborer.
Oh, so we're talking like amount.
Yeah, let's okay. go with a day laborer. Then we can move to a medium craftsperson. Jewelers making good money. Like, that's a very specialized skill in an expensive line with expensive clientele.
I'm thinking of the reason why I brought up jeweler. Day labor is fine too. But I was thinking the reason why it didn't seem complicated, why I brought it up, is just thinking of time investment return.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say day labor. Let's use your example because there's no, we don't have to talk about investment, right? We're just time investment.
Yeah.
Let's say you're going to go do day labor, right?
You're digging ditches.
Yeah. So let's say you're a grave digger. That's your profession.
Yeah.
And you're going to go do some day labor digging ditches for people. I think the easiest way for us to start is to just compare it to U.S. currency.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yep.
So you can make, what does a day labor make? $150 a day for 8 hours?
Less.
Is that too much?
Less. It's less.
It's higher than you expect.
Higher than you expect, but I think it's less than that. I think what you just described is like construction demo, which is while still kind of day labor, that's like the hard stuff.
I think I might be on closer than you think. The average is around $35,000-$36,000. A year. So if we divide that by 2080, 138, that's pretty close.
Yeah.
I want to move our margins down. Because then if you're buying an inn, you're paying 250 ackies for a room? That's what a hotel room costs.
Motel costs 25. Airbnb, I stayed in DC for 3 days for 24 a day.
Holy shit, that's awesome.
It was awesome. Okay, well let's try to do that. The reason why I think comparing it to U.S. currency for now and euros, I think, are close enough that we can use this, right? Mm-hmm. Is I want to give GMs the tools to think about how much things would cost in their world relative to an equivalent in our current world. So that way they can, somebody's like, I want to buy a sword from a merchant. What are we talking? Are we talking like a functional sword?
I honestly think this will break down so fast for a couple reasons.
Sure.
One, the things that stuff costs isn't static. In 5 years, that could be very, very different.
I think that's what I like about it, though.
Then they're no longer useful because they're going to have information from 5 years ago. Like, if we're going to pick something arbitrary or something that will be functionally arbitrary, let's just make it smaller.
I think, so the books, I think, are going to contain guidelines that say at the time of writing this, the equivalent in USD and euros was this. Therefore, at the time of writing this, it would cost them this. So the GM can just look up what they want and find out how many ackies it costs. And when it comes to how much they get paid, it's relevant to whenever they're playing.
I don't think you should have to add homework to your book. I think you should just be able to look into your book and go, this much. I think you need an authoritative guide of it's this much.
You know what? I think you're right for basic things.
Yes.
But I think starting out right now, we can use real world costs and then equivocate them or get close to make them nice round numbers and then include a line to GMs of the future that if they want to estimate the cost of something, look at it at
look
the current
at these
value.
Four things.
Yep. Or how much the player would get paid. You can look at what people are currently paid in euros or USD. I was about to say, or half of what a pound is, but the pound's all over the fucking place since Brexit.
Yeah. We can't get eggs here, Jonathan. We can't get
I saw
eggs.
Brian.
Oh, yeah, Brian.
I don't want to include the cost of houses in our books. But if you're like, I want to buy a townhouse in Akinosh. In the center of Akinosh, I want GMs to be able to look at, like, what does it cost to live in Manhattan?
Yeah.
You know, what, like, yeah. I feel like that's a useful tool that I, as a GM...
2 million ackies.
Yeah, way more than 2 million. I want GMs to feel comfortable reaching outside of our system, because in a way that I have never felt comfortable as a GM in any other system.
Could we use the store in Israelion?
The store?
Our store?
You mean our website?
No, don't we have a store in Israelion?
We have a shop, yes.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, you don't sell goods.
No. But it's a storefront.
I just mean we bought the building.
Yeah.
Yes.
In the podcast.
Yeah, but I hand waved.
I know. But I'm saying, could
we... hand waved how much you made versus how much it cost.
Yeah.
We have not been tracking
money. We found a whole rocket full that was just aluminum and where they were like, can we live someplace?
Yeah. This is a horde of Dairon. I think you're right, Liam, in that we should codify the cost of basic items.
Yeah.
The cost, we should have suggestions for the cost of non-basics. And for houses, we should for any non-standard items, we should tell the GM they have our explicit permission.
Yeah.
To compare it to real world items as we design this to be close in concept to the dollar and the euro.
That works.
Right.
And then not the rand.
Not the rand, no.
And no Norwegian kroner. Sorry, Norway.
Yeah. So I've got two topics that are adjacent to the Ackies that are crafting and inventory that we have to get into, but we don't have to do it now. So I'll just make a note. I'll say, I feel like we're in the neighborhood here. I think that the problem I haven't brought up yet with Ackies is that players don't have a lot of stuff to spend them on.
Yeah.
In our system. Not yet. Like, our magic items are kind of silly at the moment. So I think we'll put it out there.
It's also a situation of buying magic items always feels, depending on what they are, a little weird. That you could just go to a store.
I think the reason why Paz is fun in Leyliners is that all of them are secondhand.
Yeah.
So maybe they're a little weird and quirky, but you're kind of in it for that.
No. Past tense is great.
Yeah. Spoiler alert, she doesn't have a very large inventory. I think we should change that, though. So Max and I spoke, and to give the players things to purchase, I think we're just going to open it up for listeners. And Max, you expressed interest in taking all of those.
Yes. Send them to me.
I think what we'll do then is we'll make a Google form that's public, and Max will be maintaining it. And you can just submit custom items. When you submit them, please include a cost. Now, I think a good rubric for this is, what would this item cost if it were not magical? And then the moment you add a simple magical property to it, think of like, what is the artisan version of this if there's a real world equivalent, right? So I can buy a kitchen knife for $6 at Walmart, but if I want a super awesome artisan one, $600 is not unreasonable.
No.
And there's many above that.
And if you want one that explodes when you stab stuff, that would be way more.
Well, I think...
Or way less, depending on the functionality.
Yeah, so think about that.
Think the McGargle version is just like...
It's just got dynamite in it.
But remember the technology level that we're dealing with here, that anything that is mechanical or based on technology rather than magic, it needs to conform to the almost the McGargle-esque silliness, the steampunk / goblin-esque technology that we're thinking of.
Early Renaissance in its usefulness and flamboyantness.
Yes.
Like, there were a lot of cool things that were invented in the Renaissance, but they didn't work, really.
Correct. We'll be posting that on our Patreon, probably in the description, somewhere visible where everybody can have access to it. Please contribute. Even if you think it's like a half-baked idea, we'll fill in the rest. When it comes to attribution, we may use them in the podcasts. You can use them in your games, but we are probably not going to be including them in the books because we need something a little more bog standard than the creative stuff that you guys get up to, which we love reading about. Your custom characters are fantastic.
We might make them a gargoyle book or something.
I love it. We'll call it the McGargle's Compendium of
wondrous and wacky items.
Yes.
Perfect. All right. I love it.
Down.
Off the dome. Feeling good. Off the monochrome dome.
The monochrome dome. All right. I love it. I'm excited to see what you guys create because, like, while we have a lot of creative capital, we use most of it up just thinking of scenarios like this and how we would plan for the future. So we're really excited what you would create. It'll be open to everybody. If you think that's something that you'd like to do.
If you want to see the wing mob use your stupid sword, you should probably fill out this form.
So I think what we'll include in that is you can price the item, you can describe its appearance, typical locations it might be found, you can give it a backstory, some notes, how it's used, and if there's any like general knowledge about it.
If you make a 1986 Mets reference in its backstory, I'll probably use it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, imagine a telescope attached to 4,000 feet of steel cable. So it just pulls something far away closer to you instead of working as a telescope.
Yeah. Okay. It's like a colonoscope with a hook at the end.
Ow.
Yeah.
All right. I love it. I'm excited to see what you guys create, and I think that's where we're going to end it today. Thank you, everyone, for listening. As always, if you have comments or suggestions, our Patreon is patreon.com/RPGFS. Our $2 and up patrons can find us on the Omniverse Discord, where you can talk to us directly. On Twitter, you can see our posts. We are at @homebrewhombres, and we are on Facebook at facebook.com/RPGFS. And until next time, everybody, stay safe, stand watch, and get a full rest.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.